Hillary Clinton told the Democratic National Convention last night that she was a proud supporter of Barack Obama and urged her supporters to do the same.
And whether you voted for me or you voted for Barack, the time is now to unite as a single party with a single purpose.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 27th. Did Hillary Clinton convince her supporters to back Barack Obama? Why would a Hillary Clinton supporter even think of voting for John McCain? We'll discuss Hillary Clinton's speech last night and whether she was successful in this attempt at Democratic Party unity with Iva Deutschman, professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did you think of her speech last night?
Well, I think from the point of view that you just suggested, i.e., if I were a supporter, would I have become convinced? I think the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. And why?
I think from that point of view, she did what she was supposed to. She reached out to the Obama supporters. I don't think she was overly huggy-kissy, but I think she was reaching out enough to convince those people that they needed to stay with the party. I think her comment about, I'm assuming you weren't just in this for me, but you were in this for these larger issues, should remind those people what the larger issues are and why they need to remember that first and foremost they should be loyal Democrats.
Yeah. In fact, here's her clip on that.
I want you to ask yourselves, were you in this campaign just for me, or were you in it for that young Marine and others like him? Were you in it for that mom struggling with cancer while raising her kids? Were you in it for that young boy and his mom surviving on the minimum wage? Were you in it for all the people in this country who feel invisible?
So why do you think, Professor Deutschman, that we have at least heard that there are many Hillary Clinton supporters who just don't support Barack Obama and are threatening, anyway, to vote for John McCain instead?
It's a mystery. I really don't quite understand it, because by any rational analysis that we make of voting behavior, people don't cross party lines that often. If you are a Democrat, you stay with the Democratic Party. If you're a Republican, you stay with the Republican Party. Again, there are some times where that isn't always true. Republicans have their own issues with some in the Christian right threatening that they're not going to vote if, for example, Mitt Romney is the vice presidential nominee. But even with that, I wouldn't think it would be that many. Okay, and certainly I would be shocked if I heard that Christian fundamentalists were going to vote for Barack Obama because they were so angry at the Republican Party for selecting Mitt Romney. So that makes zero sense, and it doesn't make much more sense for a Democrat to say, I am a Democrat, I'm going to vote for this particular Democrat, but then you didn't select this person, so I'm going to cross party lines. John McCain is so far away from most of what Hillary Clinton ran on that I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can help us understand why a Hillary Clinton supporter, though, would be devastated by her loss in the primaries.
Well, I can understand, and again, I wouldn't say this is just a Hillary Clinton supporter. I think if you are somebody who really supported any particular candidate and your person isn't selected, it's tough, right? I mean, you know, why didn't my person make it, and what's wrong with the party, and why did they pick so-and-so? So, you know, people get upset about that. That's not just about Hillary Clinton supporters. Hard to believe. I think there are, maybe not today, but maybe a month and a half ago, John Edwards supporters who were really upset that John Edwards, right? Why he was so great, and he was a vice presidential candidate, and he was running on the Two Americas platform. Right now, I'm sure they're all saying, poof, we dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
But who knew
at
the time, right? And there are supporters of every candidate whose people are saying, you know, the party should have chosen so-and-so.
Yeah.
That's not unique.
Yeah. Do you believe, though, that Hillary Clinton was indeed successful then last night in convincing her supporters to support Barack Obama, or at least most of them?
I think she did the best job she could have done in order to get her supporters on board. I don't know what else she could have done.
We're talking with Iva Deutschman. She is a professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges, talking about Hillary Clinton's speech last night before the Democratic National Convention. We welcome your reactions and your questions. 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, August the 27th. It's now 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll welcome in a guest professor to talk with us about the youth vote. The fall elections expected to bring out the most young people to the polls since the voting age was lowered to 18. We're going to take a look at what the candidates are doing to appeal to the youth vote and how important the youth vote is after 8 o'clock. We're talking about, in part, the women's vote, the vote of the Hillary Clinton supporters this fall, following Hillary Clinton's speech before the Democratic National Convention last night, in which she declared herself a proud supporter of Barack Obama's and asked her supporters to do the same. Talking with Iva Deutschman, professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges. You sounded, when I asked you what you thought about the speech, Professor Deutschman, you said, well, in terms of whether she was successful reaching out to her supporters, yes, it was successful. But it sounded like you you had something. What else did you think about the speech?
I didn't think it was a great speech in and of itself. I was disappointed in the speech, mostly because I thought the first half of it, let's talk about me. Enough about me. Let's talk about me some more.
Really?
And I found that a little annoying. It wasn't until maybe two-thirds of the way through that she even mentioned Barack Obama's name. And I found that to be a little disconcerting. This is from the perspective of a sort of general listener. And then, of course, I thought some more and realized that I don't think the speech was necessarily pitched to a general listener. In other words, I think she was talking to her base and her voters, and that's why I phrased it that way. But from the perspective of here's a speech at the Democratic National Convention, well, I have to say pretty much the whole convention's disappointed me. A few moments, one way or the other. I thought Michelle Obama was pretty good. But pretty much with that exception, they've had a hell of a lot of free air time that they have frittered away.
What do you mean frittered?
Well, I mean, they need to go hire somebody out in Hollywood who can tell them how to make a more exciting time. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, just boring. You want to see more of...
Boring. And did I mention boring?
you want to hear a little more Republican attacks?
Number one, I would like to hear some Republican attacks along the sort of John Stewart line, okay? In other words, I would do it in a funny way because you're not trying to alienate people.
Yeah.
But more than Republican attacks, I'd like to hear, besides this wonderful biography, tell me something, and maybe this is my prejudice as a professor, but tell me something you're going to do.
Yeah. I'm not hearing that. Here's a bit of humor, a little bit of humor from Hillary Clinton last night.
Well, John McCain says the economy is fundamentally sound. John McCain doesn't think 47 million people without health insurance is a crisis. John McCain wants to privatize Social Security, and in 2008, he still thinks it's okay when women don't earn equal pay for equal work. Agenda like that, it makes perfect sense that George Bush and John McCain will be together next week in the Twin Cities, because these days they're awfully hard to tell apart.
So she got the issues in there and a jab. How's that?
We needed more of that, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More of the issues, and done in a way that's clever, or you don't want to be hostile. Be clever.
Let's go to the phones. Jill in Menominee is with us. Hi, Jill. You're on the air.
Hi. A few minutes ago, your guest was saying that she found it confusing that a Hillary supporter would think about voting for John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And I briefly did consider that. After the speech last night, I'm not thinking about that anymore. But, you know, for me, I'm a social studies teacher, and I'm a bit younger than Hillary, but not a lot younger. And I have for years looked at, you know, these long posters over my chalkboard of all these men. And I always had a dream that one day a woman would be president, that I would see it before I died.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it looks like that might not be the case. And I don't really have anything against Barack Obama. And I did want to vote for him, but I wanted to vote for him in 8 years. You know, I felt like Hillary is a woman who's paid her dues big time to the party and to the country, and that it was her time and it was her turn. And it feels to me like she just kind of got shoved out of the way, and I guess in a way shoved out of the way by a man. You know, and it's the John McCain thing. It isn't so much that I would ever want John McCain for president. It was that I didn't know how to express my disappointment and my hurt about that. And it kind of ended up kind of coming out sideways towards Barack and just saying, you know, you're the one who stepped in front of her and took something that should have been hers. And I did understand after the speech, though, that I really did have to look beyond those personal feelings and to think about the party and to think about the goals that both of them had.
Jill, I'm so glad you called. Thank you very much. Your reaction, Professor Deutschman.
No, I think I'm glad she called, too, and I'm very glad to hear that. I guess I would say, look, I would love to see a woman elected president, too. I would love it to be in all of our lifetimes. By the way, I would also like to see an African-American elected president, also in all of our lifetimes. I'd like to see an openly gay person have the right to get married in this country, also in our lifetime. So there are a lot of things I would like to see. I guess I don't feel quite the way Jill does about Hillary Clinton. One of the things that's interesting to me about Hillary Clinton, and it's not so much talked about, but I don't see her as this wonderful feminist icon. I see her from a feminist perspective as far more problematic and far more complicated, mostly because Hillary Clinton wouldn't be in the position she's in if she weren't married to the man she's married to.
Really?
And I don't know, I've only been teaching feminism for how many years now, but that's not one of the major principles of any feminist theory that I understand.
Yeah, but if not her, who in our lifetimes?
Well, I mean, isn't that part of the question? In other words, I don't know anything about Claire McCaskill's husband, and that's the point. In other words, find me, let other women come forward the normal way that men have come forward through the political process, prove themselves independently through the political process, and then after they have done that, then we find out that they're married to Cindy McCain or blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, John McCain proved himself through the political process.
Yeah. Diane in Milwaukee is with us next. Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi. It was common knowledge during the primaries that the Republicans wanted to run against Hillary Clinton. And I think many of the people who voted for her were Republicans. And now those same Republicans are demonstrating, trying to influence the feminists in the party and trying to get them to revolt and split the party. And I think that Hillary's speech was pretty good, but she spent too much time talking about herself. And, you know, shots of her husband beaming. And, you know, I am scared that the Republicans are doing this dirty trick, demonstrating, trying to influence Democratic women to vote against Barack.
Is this dirty tricks from the Republicans, Professor Deutschman?
I just don't know if they're quite as smart as Diane gives them credit for. I mean, that's a brilliant idea, if she's right, that the Republicans could infiltrate the Democratic Party, get all these Republican women to vote for Hillary, and then, of course, they're going to go and vote for McCain because they're truly Republican. They're good. I don't know if they're that good. But boy, you know, that's a compliment if they are, let me tell you.
Thanks, Diane. Kate in Brookfield, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a kind of peculiar theory as to why some Hillary supporters may still be in with McCain. And I don't think they're anywhere near the number that the media keeps trying to tell us there are. But I do think that it is for some of the old school feminists who believe that the younger women don't get, don't appreciate, and don't understand the former movement, a way of taking back what they did. If McCain is in, we lose Roe versus Wade, and I think that they know that. And it is a way to punish us for not voting how they wanted us to. And it's very personal. It's punishing their daughters.
Wow, we only have 30 seconds before a news break, Professor Deutschman. We'll pick it up after the news. Why don't we do that? We'll pick it up after the news. Iva Deutschman, our guest professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges, talking with us about Hillary Clinton's speech last night before the Democratic National Convention, urging her supporters to support Barack Obama, talking about Democratic Party unity and the Hillary Clinton vote. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Did you vote for Hillary Clinton in the primary? Will you vote for Barack Obama this fall? Did Hillary Clinton convince you to support Obama with her speech last night before the Democratic National Convention? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, August the 27th, and we are talking about Hillary Clinton's address before the DNC last night, in which she told her supporters to support Barack Obama. We also would like to hear from you if you're an Obama supporter. Did you appreciate what Hillary Clinton said last night? Or not, or maybe you're a supporter of John McCain. You can tell us what you thought of the Hillary Clinton speech as well. Republicans are saying this morning, hey, Hillary Clinton still didn't say Barack Obama is ready to be president, did she? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Iva Deutschman, professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges. Just before news time, we heard from a caller, Kate in Brookfield, who thought that there might be some Hillary Clinton supporters out there who are saying they are going to vote for John McCain, Professor Deutschman, because they want to punish younger women for not supporting Hillary Clinton, and that by electing John McCain, that'll teach him.
Again, I guess all of the psychological twists are a bit much for me. I don't know. Again, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and maybe it is true that some people are thinking along those lines, although if that is the case, it's a hell of a way to try to punish somebody. You know, Don't you think?
Well, does Kate have a point, though, that maybe younger women today don't appreciate the scope of Hillary Clinton's run and the women's movement and how far we've come and just take it for granted?
I don't think that's fair. I really don't. I think young women do. I mean, look, I teach college, so I deal with a lot of young women, and they do appreciate feminism. Of course, I teach college about 8 miles from Seneca Falls, so we're probably a little more aware of it in this part of New York than people are other places. So I don't think that's fair to young women. By the way, if you want to talk about how far we've come, you could, I hate to be pessimistic, but you could also talk about how far we have to go. Mm-hmm. One of the most shocking statistics to me is the fact that we're speaking so much about a run for president. Let's talk about the number of women in Congress, number of women in the Senate, how that number has leveled off and not increased. And moreover, and this is extremely important, if you go back 25 years, the number of women in Congress was roughly split 50-50 between the Republicans and the Democrats. In 2008, it's about a 4-to-1 Democratic advantage. In other words, there are virtually no women left anymore in the Republican Party. I mean, this to me is something worth getting very excited about, and something we probably should talk about in terms of the whole discussion about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I mean, here you have a situation where you're talking about a white woman and an African-American man, and I just want to remind everybody, only in the Democratic Party. I mean, this is light years ahead of the Republican Party, which is 100% straight white male. John Colby, forgive me. Arizona gay man.
Mike in Madison emails, is it possible that some Hillary supporters won't support Obama because they harbor hidden racisms, even if they aren't aware of it? Wisconsin Public Radio had an episode a few weeks ago about how most people have hidden racism within themselves, even though they don't know it.
Lots of, you know, it's not just Hillary supporters who are quote-unquote hidden racists. I mean, lots of Americans are hidden racists, and lots of us are not so hidden, right? We're right out there. The man who wrote in, Mike, he might have heard of what we call in political science the Bradley effect, right? That which is any time you're doing polling before an election and there's an African-American candidate, once the voting happens, there's a discrepancy between the actual vote and the vote polling, where people are saying, oh, yeah, they're going to vote for Barack Obama. But once they get into the election booth and they close the curtain and they're there by themselves and they don't have to sound like they're nice, respectable, non-racist liberals, they can go ahead and say, I'm not voting for that guy, and vote their inner core racist, if you will.
Right. And the polls are narrowing now, too, so any lead that Barack Obama had is either evaporating or in one,
yes.
one poll is gone. So what does that tell you?
I mean, well, that tells me several things. Part of it is about racism. Part of it is about, I said this when we first started talking, I don't think the Democrats have done a hell of a job here. I mean, you know, I say this to my students all the time, and they laugh, but it's true. The Democratic Party has a unique ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Besides saying, hey, it's been miserable under George Bush, and John McCain will give you more of the same, what do you want? What do you want them to do?
Well, I think they need to tell people how they're going to make things better, mm-hmm. which they don't want to do. I mean, can we please have a serious talk about energy? You know, I saw there's a guy running for Congress in an adjacent district to mine. The guy's a total idiot, and he has some stupid ad. Let's drill now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, all Republicans are running those ads.
Well, I wish to God some Democrat, like the one running against him, would put out an ad that simply says, because it's true. I'm sorry, there's not five scientists you could find who specialize in energy that will make the argument that drilling is going to uncover oil, bring down prices, or do anything. You want to have a stupid slogan, have a stupid slogan. A stupid slogan is not an energy solution.
Yeah. Bridget in La Crosse joins us. Hi, Bridget, you're on the air.
Hi, I love the program this morning. I enjoyed Hillary's comments. I've been a Barack supporter since day one. I wish that the Democrats would grab Saturday Night Live's episode from last year where they had all the mock candidates up. And Hillary's comments for Barack Obama were very, very complimentary in talking about how naive he is and how, you know, pie in the sky he is. And he doesn't stand a chance. But after she's done, after 8 years, maybe she'll help him run. The Saturday Night episode from last year would be wonderful for them to run because everything she says is a compliment to him. Rather than an insult. And I'm glad she didn't flip-flop on her position because I think it would have showed a lack of credibility. If that's what she truly believes, that's fine. You know, you can believe that, but there's a lot of us, like me, that believe that maybe it's good that he doesn't have a lot of Washington experience and a lot of Washington connections and that he's not beholden to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I also agree on the issue of race, and it goes both ways. I've been campaigning for Obama, and I've had wonderful people say, you know, I'm going to vote for him. And I'd say, can I give you a yard sign? Oh, no, I don't want anyone to know. So I think there's a lot of people who are voting for him, but it's the reverse. They don't want their friends and neighbors to know that they're voting for a black man because they just don't know what the neighbors would think.
Boy, that's kind of sad, though, too, isn't it, Professor Deutschman?
She made several very good points, one of which, by the way, and I know you're going to have a guest talking about young voters, mm-hmm. the millennial generation, as we call them. And one of the arguments that a number of people have made about the polls, Barack Obama has brought a number of people to politics who've never voted before. And so the polls, pre-polling is always based on people who voted last time. So
right.
if you didn't
right.
vote last time, you're not part of the sample. And so a number of people are making the argument that Obama actually has a bigger lead that is invisible to us because we are not counting those millions of people who he's brought to politics who didn't vote last time.
Yeah, very briefly, Professor Deutschman, is it okay that Hillary Clinton in her remarks last night didn't say anything about Barack Obama's experience or, you know, somehow reverse herself saying, well, I do believe he's ready to lead now?
You know, she could have said something along those lines of, how does one put this, with all due respect to your guest, because I take her point. In other words, Clinton doesn't want to sound like she's reversing everything she's ever said, but she does want to say, Of course, he's a capable professional. He's a leader. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. That it the country would be in good hands or something.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because you say things when you're running against somebody. You have to.
Yeah.
And of an obvious thing, I mean, if I were one of Hillary Clinton's advisors, I would say, look, an obvious thing to say running against Barack Obama is he's a baby. You're a grown-up.
Yeah, let me hold you there, because we're going to check the weather forecast, and then we'll be right back.
In America, you always keep going. We're Americans. We're not big on quitting. And remember, before we can keep going, we've got to get going by electing Barack Obama the next president of the United States.
As Hillary Clinton last night before the Democratic National Convention, we're talking about her speech, talking about whether she was successful in convincing her supporters to support Barack Obama, and welcoming your reactions and questions for our guest, Iva Deutschman, a professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our lines have been busy all hour, but now we do have an open line for you. Bob in Lone Rock joins us next. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm just thinking that probably with the talk about someone switching to McCain is that McCain's always been touted as working with the Democrats and crossing party lines a lot. And I think that they might feel safer in that boat. And I'm not sure that Hillary convinced even herself of what she was saying at the end of that speech. You know, I don't know if her group actually bought in that she actually believes, you know, that she's pushing for Obama.
You don't think she's pushing for Obama, Bob?
I don't really feel that. I really don't.
Yeah. What do you think, Professor Deutschman?
I think your caller brings up a really important point that John McCain has a reputation. I think the word that's used most often to describe him is maverick.
Mm-hmm.
Another word would be bipartisan, reaching across lines, etc. And it's not a reputation that is 100% accurate or well-deserved. I would just like to remind your listeners that the American Conservative Union, and they should know, this is their statistic, not mine, gives him an 86% rating, which means he votes the American Conservative Union position 86% of the time. Now, yes, there are people in the Republican Party who vote even higher than 86% of the time. Not too many. And nobody votes 100% of the time. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody is going to have one issue over how many hundreds of votes where they're going to disagree with the ACLU, the American, whatever, whoever's doing the rankings. So all I would point out is that this image of John McCain as this maverick reaching across lines, et cetera, is not a fully deserved reality.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, Bob said something that reminded me of other people have said that Hillary Clinton really would rather Barack Obama lose in the fall so she then can run in 2012. Do you think that's really in the back of her mind?
Well, okay. And again, you know, don't get angry at the woman. From a strictly personal point of view, I certainly could understand that. I mean, you know, sure. She really wants to be president. And in the best case scenario, from her point of view, she would have gotten the nomination. Okay, she didn't. So what's the second best case scenario? Again, I'm saying from the point of view of the individual, not from the larger point of view. I think she would probably say it's not just about her. And from the point of view of the country, of course it would be better if Barack Obama got elected, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, from a strictly it's all about me perspective, I couldn't blame the woman if she thought, you know, yeah, let him lose, and then I come forward a few years later to save the party.
Mark in Spring Green asks in his email, have you heard recent reports that Hillary told Obama she did not want to be asked to be vice president? If true, would this mean she did not want to help him win, even if she were vice president?
Maybe she did, if it's true that she told him she didn't want to be vice president. She could have other things in mind. Okay. In other words, it was John Nance Garner who said the vice presidency was a warm bucket of spit.
Right.
Dick Cheney to the contrary, of course. But, she could have had other things in mind. By the way, I don't know if the American public is so anxious for another Dick Cheney vice presidency. I mean, I think they might want a warm bucket of spit back.
I heard an analyst talking last night. Why aren't the Democrats invoking Dick Cheney's name even more? Because they think that would be scary.
Again,
as ever.
This is a great question. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because we're not running the convention. If they had me running the convention and some of your listeners, I'm with the woman who wanted the Saturday Night Live skit. Come on.
Jason in Madison is with us now. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just have a serious concern, I guess, with this whole convention. What I've really noticed, including Hillary Clinton, it looks like a lot of the Democratic senators and members of the House are not really giving an effort to help Obama become president. When you listen to the rhetoric these past 2 days, it's very fluff. They repeat Bush administration, Bush and McCain. They're not really going to any issues that concern the American people. I really do feel that, you know, and to save me from being a conspiracy theorist, because I'm not, I really do feel that they can care. They really do not want Obama. That was not their choice. I believe that Hillary was the chosen one in their minds, but they did not know about these new people coming out of nowhere electing for Obama. They didn't. They were blindsided. So now they're doing a combination of okay, we need to make sure that we get back to status quo. And I really feel they're not giving an effort to help Obama. They really not. If you really listen to it, like you said, they're not mentioning Dick Cheney. They're not mentioning the flip-flopping of John McCain. They're not mentioning anything of substance. It's all fluff. And it's very embarrassing for me being a Democrat to finally see people's, intentions when it comes to a person. They're really destroying the man, I feel. That's my opinion.
Professor Deutschman?
Again, I don't think you have to go the conspiracy theory route. As I said, I tell my students all the time, the Democrats can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And I think they, so far, with Michelle Obama's speech as a notable exception, it's been a pretty awful convention. All this free airtime, and they have not taken advantage of it. But I don't think it's got to do with because they really don't want to support Obama or they don't really like him. It's because they're Democrats.
Yeah. Well, Bill Clinton takes to the stage tonight, and
yeah,
so
he'll
does
be good.
Yeah, and Joe Biden. Are you looking forward to that?
I think Bill Clinton will be very good. You know, again, it's probably, I don't know if he's going to stand up there and talk all about him. That will drive us all a little crazy if he does. But he's usually pretty good at the rhetorical flourishes. Joe Biden has a wonderful reputation as an attack dog. And so I am really looking forward to seeing a big chunk of John McCain's arm missing.
So maybe some red meat tonight.
I'm hoping.
All right. Professor Deutschman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Iva Deutschman, professor of political science at Hobart and William Smith Colleges, talking with us about Hillary Clinton's speech last night before the DNC. Tomorrow at this time, we'll have another guest talking about what Bill Clinton and Joe Biden have to say tonight at the Democratic National Convention. We are trying to find you guests from all different perspectives to talk about the issues and the candidates that are being highlighted this week at the DNC in Denver. We'll do the same next week when the Republicans convene in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minnesota. 1-800-747-7444 is our toll-free number if you'd like to order a CD of this or any of our talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can also listen to them on our website, WPR.org. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Michelle Kofel, and Cynthia Schuster for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.